Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I love you. You guide me all things, you
Hallelujah, give him praise. Hallelujah, acknowledge the God of God, the Lord of Lords, and acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We say good morning, good morning, good morning. This first Friday in the month of November, we pray that your hearts will be filled of thanksgiving and gratitude to the God of glory for all that he is done, has done, and will do, and that you will worship him in spirit and in truth. We are so grateful that you have joined us today and pray all is well with you and yours. And we'll get right to it. We're coming to the close of Hell's Toxic Trio. We're on chapter 8. We have one more chapter to go. And we're in the middle of chapter 8. We have come to a place where the author is gathering together the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the battle and the strategy against the enemy. And he has identified three major sources of conflict that has been set up against us. And he's given us some rather detailed information concerning them and concerning us as it relates us to them. We're in the DNA of the religious spirit. We looked at Jezebel's spirit. We looked at the Python spirit, each with its own objective to kill, steal, and destroy our faith, our destiny, and our walk, our testimony. And so these are the things that the Lord wants us to be keenly aware of, so that we can walk in excellence with them and walking knowing the battle that is against us. So we looked at what exactly is a religious spirit. We talked about it last week. What it does is it's a demonic power that uses religious structures to entangle people in bondage, prevent transformation, and enforce the spiritual status quo. And so when we look at these three areas are to entangle people in bondage, how does that happen? When we get people so concerned about things that have nothing to do with their salvation, but we indicate it's necessary for their service. So then we separated something. We separated what Christ has done from what man feels we should do. Now he's going to look at us in a certain way because he only has eyesight, whereas the Lord looks at our heart, and he is concerned with our heart. And so when we're entangled in bondage, the proper flow, the proper beat of our heart, the proper pumping of blood is not going to be at its optimum. Most effective. And so this bondage will help, will hinder and restrict our spiritual motions as well as our physical activities. And so when they entangle people in bondage, they entangle them with a lie, something that's partially true, but it is not the truth. It is not God's truth. And so they entangle us with, I call it this, and I don't want to offend any organization or spiritual denomination or anything like that, but they entangle us in form and fashion. Remember, our old people used to say form and fashion. What is the form of my worship? You know, in what fashion do I worship God? Am I worshiping Him in a fashion that flows with the Holy Spirit? Or am I focused on making sure I've got every I and crossed every T? Because God is not like that. He is a kind, loving Father. And so often legalism binds us into actions that hinder us from getting close to God because we're focusing on what we're doing and not who we are becoming, which goes to the next part, prevent transformation. So the religious spirit is there to prevent, hinder, stall our spiritual growth and development. He's there to bring us to a point where we don't go any further. Either we don't know to go any further, we don't want to go any further, we're too afraid to go any further, but it prevents us from being transformed into the light, Christ-like mind. It prevents us from being not born again, but reflecting the image of our Savior. And it prevents it by showing this, what do you want to call it, a mirror that is, what do you call them kind of mirror? You know, they're like, not defective mirrors, but they, you know, you don't, they kind of warp. They're not, you don't really see it the way it really is. It's distorted. That's it. They distort it. They distort God's truth into saying things like, well, He really doesn't want us to do that, or we really can't live without sin. You know, so that prevents transformation. That prevents the power of the truth of God to give us a new mindset. So it prevents transformation. It is when a scripture is known and then rejected. And rejected, why? We'll say, well, I'm not Christ. Christ lived without sin. I can't. Because that's something. They're preventing transformation. That's the religious fear. Then as long as you do step one, step two, step three, you know, they want that to be your benchmark. When the benchmark is all the things that Christ has done so that we can do them and become like Him. And then it enforces the spiritual status quo. This is the way it is. Why are you rocking the boat? This was good, you know, for our parents. It was good in the olden days. It's good for us now. What is it we're trying to accomplish? So it's not subject to those new fresh wine, fresh moves, fresh anointing, a fresh wind. It's when we get to a certain place that we feel I did step one, I did step two, I did step three. You know, I studied, I followed all of the rules. Every morning I get up, I put on the whole armor. And so I have performed based on my understanding of what God wants. And what He wants from us initially is that, because that's how we get to a point of surrender. But he doesn't want us to stay there, because once we surrender, then he's able to mold us into ambassadors and those that are mirroring his dear son. And so it fights revelation. The religious spirit fights revelation. They don't, some of them don't even believe in revelation. And when they hear one, they criticize it. They try to tear it apart. They try to discredit it. They defy prophetic insight. They hate apostolic authority. And they use tradition to build a structure of limitation. And a lot of times, this structure that they're building, this is this tradition, using traditions to keep everybody in line. And they, what we often think, and maybe it starts that way, and it's supposed to be decent and in order. But as we grow, decent and in order is dictated by the Holy Spirit, not by man or a set of rules and laws. We cannot keep the laws, as it showed in the Old Testament. We fell short, which is why we have Christ. So now we must embrace his life so that our spirit will not be religious, but it will be holy. It will be holy. That was the introduction on the day of Pentecost to the very power that would guide and navigate our life until Christ came back again. It was the Holy Spirit. So the author starts the first heading, don't let the oil of one dry. Living in the kingdom demands the precious oil of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. One of the things we do at church, we're always anointing with oil. We're always talking about oil. We're always acknowledging the oil. And the oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're acknowledging the Holy Spirit. We're acknowledging his ministry. We are presenting his ministry in areas that we didn't know were necessary before. And part of that is for the refreshment of our souls. And I know the word refreshes us, but the anointing of the word of God connects us to heaven's immediate agenda for us. And so as long as you're at the source of your refreshment or of water, think of it, if you're at the source of water, you're not going to go dry. Because at any moment, at any time, when you're thirsty, you just go get a glass of water. And that's what our lives should be like with the Holy Spirit. Every moment of every day for our sales, spiritual sales, that's the C-E-L-L, as well as the S-E-L-F, to be nourished, it must have the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's that river that flows. We cannot encounter the ministry of Jesus without encountering the power of God. And that power comes because of the connection. Remember that we have allowed the Holy Spirit to establish in our lives with him and heaven. The power of God is a witness to the person of Jesus. The power of God is part of the authenticity of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is made authentic. Power of God is seen. It is evident. And the power of God is evident through God's sons and daughters and the position of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. And sons and daughters, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, gets us in the right position of redemption to reflect the authenticity of the kingdom of God. by establishing the power of God in our lives, by embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have been granted power over the devil. Christ came, and he came, and what he did was defeat the enemy. The devil is defeated. That's past tense. It's done. And when Christ did it, he then put his cloak of victory, righteousness, upon us. And so he gave us the position to display the authenticity of the kingdom of God, power that we absorb towards the enemy. We don't crash and burn. We stand, and having done all, stand, because we understand who we are. We have been given supernatural powers over diseases. We've been given supernatural power over temporary circumstances and challenges. Our inheritance brings access to the full majesty of heaven. We need to live in that truth. That is a transformational truth, as when it says the eye of my understanding are enlightened, so I understand the hope of my calling. You understand your position and your sonship. You understand your redemption, and you understand the blood of Jesus is your cloak of righteousness. And so when we understand that, then you will know the hope of your call. You'll know why all of this happened to you, and it's not about you, but it is about us, but it's about God's kingdom and building the kingdom for the one who has built us, who has loved us, and who has given his son for us. So our inheritance is accessed in the fullness of the majesty of heaven through our connection and our relationship with Holy Spirit. We are called to live in the anointing. And I think sometimes we use that word so till we forget the anointing is really the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we view it as a thing, my anointing to teach or to preach, or my anointing as an apostle to establish, or my anointing to prophesy or to do miracles. And so we hear that, but we don't often connect it to its true power source, which is Holy Spirit. And we are called to live in the anointing who is in us, which is the Holy Spirit. We're called to move in the supernatural. You can't, it says, you can't be in Christ's presence and not show forth these miracles, because that's what the Bible says. And so we should not bow to the lie of the enemy or just give up in defeat, because we are understanding. The eyes of our understanding have been enlightened, and now I see and I know. There is oil to help in every situation. There is Holy Spirit power and refreshment. The religious spirit comes to void these realities and crush life in the spirit. It comes to stifle and hinder. It comes to mock and to challenge. It comes to bind and restrict. And so when we understand these things, when you identify the enemy, and then you identify the strategy of the enemy, then the enemy can't deceive you if you apply the strategy of heaven to the enemy. And the strategy of heaven for the enemy is Jesus Christ. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Many times we start our lives as Christians, and we are so fired up. We are so excited, in great expectations. And then as we go forth in the journey, we kind of lose sight of that joy. we oftentimes, honestly, hit dry patches, dry seasons, you know, and these are all seasons that have purpose in our life, and we, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, so we'll understand these dry patches bring us to a place of humility, a place of going on our knees, a place of, a place where you're meditating, where you're stopping and you're praying and you're seeking the next thing from God. You're seeking the next step. You're seeking to understand what the Lord is saying to you. And you're seeking to examine yourself. You're searching yourself. You're dry. If you turn the path and go in the wrong direction, away from the source of your water and the Holy Spirit. And if that happened, when it happened, and how it happened, and more importantly, why did we allow it to happen? And oftentimes, it's because we were deceived. We were deceived by the strategy of the enemy because we didn't know. But when we stop and meditate, when we pray and we read the word and we search the word, and then we seek God to search our hearts, then he will reveal to us, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he will reveal to us that which we need to do. And one of the things that is so powerful about life with Christ is the fact that what Christ did brought us forgiveness. And so all the Lord is asking is that we will then surrender and repent. And when we repent, there are promises that are given to us that are so powerful that we should be running to repent all day long. Because he says these things will be cast away as though they never happened. So that means I'm then standing in a place where I look like Christ without sin. Because they never happened because I have repented. And so when we claim our issues or when we embrace our wrong, and we often do when we say, well, I can't do that or that's how I am or something of that nature. No, God gave us direct access to all of the power in heaven through the Holy Spirit, and we can do it. We begin to experience explosive results when we start to understand and wake up to the position that we're in. We, after a period of time, we began to meet. We began to see ourselves, and we don't like it. You ever looked at something you did, and it just disgusts you? That's because the eyes of your understanding are being enlightened. They're being opened to God's way, and you are, in effect, choosing God over your way, which is what he wants us to do. Because he said, when you do that, when your eyes see and your ears hear, your heart will understand, and I will heal you. And so that's an act. So that's something that, you know, he has promised, and that is something that we are able to embrace. We are not condemned. We do not have to sit in shame somewhere. We can release those things. But so often we allow this religious spirit to wear us with criticisms and complaints and attacks, only for us to retreat and then compromise because it's too much of a, I won't say warfare, but it's a lot of energy that we need to give forth, but there's so much resistance from the religious spirit around us because so often your resistance are the saints. They're not the people in the world. They're the people in the church. And so they become a part of that, and that makes coming home, if you will, a very undesirable thing. And I say coming home, and, you know, when we're in the world and we're you know, involved in people in the world doing the things that people in the world do. When we come to church, we're coming home to should be to a safe, nurturing place where we're refreshed and rebuilt and restored. That 23rd Psalm kind of journey. And so when we do that and we get into the church and it's as bad as the world, then that heals, that transformation, that causes abundance to come upon our lives, hindering our process. So when we look at, they talked about Matthew 22nd chapter 15 through the 20th verse, and I'm trying to honestly read the notes, and I don't know what I was talking about there, but I'll read the scripture. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel to entangle him in his words. And there again, he's going to the house of the Lord. He's going there for refreshment. He's going there for teaching. He's going there for fellowship. And what he gets is entanglement into bureaucracy, protocol, and tradition. They sent their disciples to him with Herodias, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God truthfully and are swayed by no one, for you do not regard the person of man. What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And so here you have that religious spirit coming into someone that has come into the home, to the house of the Lord. He said, "This is my father's house. He made it a den of thieves, and it should be a place of prayer." And you have all of this spiritual warfare going on against one who is walking in harmony with heaven in a new way. And so here is a group of people who do not want the status quo to change. They want to stay in control. They want it to be the knowledge that they have, not the knowledge that comes from some stranger that's walking up and down the street in regular clothes. They do not want it to come from some unlearned individual that did not sit in, Pharisee school and learn the word of God or the temple or in the temple and that sort of thing. What they were doing was persecuting him. And so, but they started ever so differently. And I think that is part of the strategy of the enemy. He starts with flattery. He starts with flattery. And so they give all these accolades, but the accolades are coming out of their mouth and not their heart until their real motive. And the real motive will always come forth. And if the real motive is not pointing to Christ, then you know the motive is not godly. Is it unlawful? So they went straight to the law. He's not a man of the law. He's a man of the spirit. And so they were bringing him into what they thought, well, it was the way they functioned in their lives, which is by the law. So who is to pay taxes to Caesar? But Christ comes with a wisdom, and the Holy Spirit said, always be ready with an answer. But the answer that the Holy Spirit gives you, not our answer. Sometimes our answer are very inappropriate. But God perceives their wickedness. And here the Holy Spirit will let you know. He will give you the discernment. That's one of the anointing. That's one of the find that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, and it will reflect, because then you will give an answer that will shut their mouth, which is what Christ is. And when they heard these words, they were amazed and left him and went on their way. And that's what he is desiring for us to do, not to get them told, because then we have took the bait that they were teasing us with, and we have fallen into their trap, and now anybody watching won't see, would not have seen Christ any differently than he saw that they saw the Pharisees. But because Christ answered by attacking, taking full access of his connection to heaven, that's the Holy Spirit, he was able to give an answer that brought truth in that place. Anytime we bring truth in a place, a situation, or a circumstance, the enemy is amazed, because the enemy knows truth. And when they know that you know it and that you know how to wield it, in other words, you know how to apply it to where you are in a way that will glorify God and build the kingdom, then they are amazed. They are amazed that their plan did not work and they couldn't get you to fall in this trap. They fell into it themselves and they will leave. It says resist the devil and he will flee. The enemy was, they were furious because Christ was preaching a message of power, love, and kingdom. They were preaching messages of defeat, condemnation, and bondage. Jesus was loosening the captives and delivering the bound. And so, in other words, he was cutting the chains. He was breaking the chains off of people's thoughts and behavior. He was breaking the chains. He was changing them and bringing them into a place of freedom. Is where the truth is, there's liberty. So then you're free to understand that you can do those things that that Christ did, that Christ said that we can do. So we're no longer bound. We're no longer in this kind of, things are going to start changing. Things are changing because we're changing. And we see them differently. And we understand the power that brings about this change. And then it's starting to spread. So in that aspect, what happens is we then become poised. I like when the teacher this past weekend shared the fact that to be poised means to be confident in what you're doing. And so often when Peter taught and when Paul stood before kings and magistrates and things like that, they stood with a confidence. It wasn't an arrogance, but they were poised because they had traveled with Christ to a place spiritually where they understood the righteousness, they understood the power of heaven, and they understood that it was what was sustaining them, and so they understood it was greater than man, and so they understood they could stand, what can man do to me? So now the scriptures are coming alive in their life, in their thinking, in their understanding, and transforming their mind. They're no longer shy or timid and not feeling that they can go and stand before kings. They're doing it very boldly and doing it under great consequences, because many of them, because they did it, ended up being persecuted and killed. So the religious spirit is also one that aligns itself with offense and anger. And it is, it works in secret, secrecy, shines boldly on the hidden devil, which is why they reject the prophetic insight, because it will shine a light on all their hidden mess. That is why demons hate prophets, prophetic people, and prophetic ministry. 1 Corinthians 4:4-5, the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. So the gospel brings the light of God on the scene. The light exposes the power of hell. The religious spirit operates under secret counsel and secret committees and backroom dealings and telephone conversations that aren't good. I'm going to say good, but they're in conspiracy against someone, and they're, you know, talking and gathering what they call allies with people with half-truths and some with just some flat-out lies, and most times with criticism and complaint and looking at the leaders that are walking in a way that honors God, looking at them in eyes that are not positive. Keep reading my page. Okay. So as we we're looking at the they honor dead traditions. We'll talk about their secret meetings, and these dead traditions are traditions, things that people do that at some point with the generations, they don't even know why they do it. They just do it. And they do it dogmatically, okay, because if you don't do it, then a big issue is going to come up in the house, okay? So we're going to stop and give you guys opportunity to share some of the insights the Lord has given you on this DNA of the religious spirit and your DNA as it relates to it. Feel free to share. Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to look at some questions that I want you to consider, even if, because I don't know if everybody has the book, but just in listening to the class on Friday, this particular class, I want you to kind of look at and think about some of these questions. Statement, because we want to be able to apply what we're learning. We want to be able to define what it is we're learning and then to apply it. It says, do a heart check every day? A heart check. You know, we have the list of 33 heart conditions. And I'm pretty sure by now everybody has it. But it is a good tool to use or to remember maybe just one or two each week
and to check to see where am I with a sincere heart, or where am I with an accepting heart. And some of the heart conditions are going to be more challenged depending on what day it is and what's going on in the world, and what you're going to be responsible for. So do you have a forgiving heart or a heart to glorify God, a praying heart, a humble heart? So do a heart check every day. The Bible says to search me, Lord, and know me. You know my uprising, my doubts, that you know the words I'm going to say before they come out. You know me. You know, and then show me the path that's yours, that I'm on, that I'm not on. Put it that way. Okay, it says learn to do everything for God alone, not to be noticed or praised by man. And this is difficult, and a lot of people say, no, I don't have a problem with that. We say that, but emotionally, we do not feel that. And so as a result, this is where the religious spirit will plant that heart of offense. Come, not easily, but we become offended. And then we carry that offense, you know, because we didn't do it for God and God alone. We definitely did it for God. Definitely do it for God. But then the clincher is God alone, no one else. So there's no way we can offend it if it is not reciprocated, appreciated, or if that person turns around and kills us or cut our feet off. It won't matter because we didn't do it for them. We did it for God and God alone. So if God didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Ask God to reveal areas of bondage in your life and to show you how to escape. So you may say, well, I'm not bound. But I heard someone share, and I thought it was so much wisdom in it, because what they said was they wanted to overcome a fear. And so they felt they had to do a thing. But the bondage comes because the fear is the fear of not doing it. Not doing it and being afraid while you do it. But the fear is, what happens if I don't do it? What will people think? What will I think? What will that mean about me? How will that define what I am or who I am or what I'm doing? And so these are bondages, because we are depending on something other than what God has said about us. And when we start feeling that way, we have to remind ourselves that God said, I am this. God said, I am that. And so that's how we break that bondage of fear, even fear to do something or of what will happen if I don't do it. And I don't mean don't do something bad, but it's something good or something that, it's not something that you desire to do, but you're going to do it just to prove you're strong and I can do it. No, you don't have to prove that. And so that's a form of bondage. Encounter Holy Spirit on a continuous basis to keep your oil flowing and your purpose pure. Your purpose pure. Encounter Holy Spirit. That's one of the reasons I love that song, Holy Spirit, I Love You. Tell him that every day, all day long. The book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, Benny Hinn, that's how he, in that season that he was in, that's how he, or what he, where he was, how he transitioned to the season of miracles, speaking miracles of healing by Good Morning, Holy Spirit, acknowledging the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis, keeping your oil flowing. So when you know, you say, well, you know, I believe something telling me I shouldn't do it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll lead, guide, and direct it. He'll also correct it. And so receive it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Be purposeful about recognizing patterns of religious activity with no spirit life. And I think that is very key to leaders that are establishing programs and seminars and conferences and services and things of that nature, to be purposeful about recognizing, is there a pattern of just religious activity without any spiritual growth and development, which is one of the powerful tools of Laborers for Christ. The things they do speak to the spirit life of it. Spiritual growth and development. Spiritual life enrichment. So we're speaking and declaring what it is this activity is to be doing. We're saying this is the sexual and relational healing experience. We're giving it spiritual life. It is not just an activity that we do every year, da da da. No, it has a life, it has a theme, it has a function, and it is all to build the spirit man. Release the oil of Holy Spirit in prayer and in worship, and meditate on the goodness, generosity, and grace of God, allowing his new nature to permeate your thinking will eradicate the power of the religious spirit in your life. So it says allowing his new nature. So the only way you can allow it is if you know what his new nature is. And so often we do not seek the newness of God, but we stand on what we already know. But we have to seek the newness of God so that we can allow that new attribute, that new nature to change our thinking. And that's part of this transitional truth. What is it out there? And it may be a truth that you've heard before, okay? But you did not see the newness of Christ. So I said, somewhere I read it. Where you knew me, but you didn't know this, the way I do this thing, you know, or how I'm going to do this thing. This is a new thing. And the only way we stay in tune and connected to that new thing is through the oil of the Holy Spirit in prayer and worship. And he will give us our direction. And so the prayer for today is, Father, keep me pure in all my motives. Show me if I ever began to allow religious or bondage to enter my life. I want to serve you and you alone. I want only to please you, to do all I do for you. I am not a man pleaser, but a God pleaser. You are the author and finisher of my faith. I break free from religious tradition and the bondage in Jesus' name. I rip every demonic lid off my spiritual life, and I release your abundant grace over me, over us. I know that you are good, and I rest in your goodness. We receive your goodness. We confess your goodness. We say that we are filled to overflowing with your joy. Thank you, Lord, that we walk close to you all the days of our life. And we hear your voice, and you alone do we follow. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to tell you, let you know that if you have the book, in the back of the book, getting to the end. I don't know what our next book is going to be. But if you have any suggestions, let me know. But in the back of the book, we have these prayers that the author has accumulated as related to each one of the trio. So the prayers against them, lies and deception, prejudice prayers, different prayers that you can use that I think are very, very powerful in breaking these attacks. I don't think anything is going on this weekend. So you get to worship this weekend. All right. So enjoy, embrace, know, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. No one has anything to say. It's a bunch of all online.
Oh, it's here. It was powerful. It was a lot of transformational truth that came forth and things that you've been asking God about, and he revealed it even in the message today. So thank you. Thank God.
Thank
for
you. Thank you, Minister Pat. It's always great to hear your voice. And
yes,
that way I
will.
Yeah, y'all didn't just dial the number and went back to sleep.
No. No, we're awake.
Well, you can't prove it by me, okay? But love you guys. Well, I do, and I appreciate you. I do.
Well, obviously, I will say that this being Chapter 8 in Toxic Trio, that whenever there's an opportunity, because I was on letter 8 in the screw tape letters, that they really coincide. It's been very interesting on how
okay.
these things line up. But, you know, maybe next week as we go forth or something, you know, I can, you know,
oh.
I can be able to share. But, yeah, I think it just lines up with this Chapter 8, you know. It talks about the highs and lows. And what I will say is that there was one thing in there, and this is a paraphrase of the quote from the fictitious Screwtape, but he basically was saying that the most dangerous time for the demonic world is when a believer actually is going through in the dry and dull, listless places, going through feeling extremely defeated, yet holding on and still trusting. And so that's what the letter's kind of dealing with. Like, you know, like, okay, this is a bad place because they don't have anything positive going on, and they're still holding out, you know, for the enemy, which is God in that case. So, you know, I mean, but, you know, I'll gladly share next week. So.
Amen. Okay. All right. All right. We look forward to it.
All right. And if Apostle's on the line, thank you for the – last weekend, that was a powerful thing. I had never done anything like that with a bunch of women. So that was really good. I mean, that was good for me. And I found it.
Amen.
That was a, I don't...
Thank you.
Amen.
It was a pleasure to serve you all.
Amen. Amen. Pleasure to be served. Thank you.
Amen. 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 And I believe that's part of the Lord wants us to appreciate is this apostolic and prophetic flow, this type of ministry that brings new wine, a wine of refreshing. I don't know about anybody else, but I know for me, just for me, Sunday was just beyond words. Beyond words, and I felt like it was a culmination of the 3 days. And what ends up happening is when we're prepared to worship, the worship gets better and better and better. And so when we prepare for 3 days for worshiping in worship and in repentance in transforming and embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know, then when Sunday come, that song say, when Sunday come, it wasn't nothing to do but go to a place that we had never been before. And that's exactly what happened. And that's through that prophetic and apostolic leadership, establishing these new things. That was not status quo. And the enemy started from, I will probably say years ago, but I'll definitely say from that Monday on, the enemy was on high attack, not alert, but attack. And just Elder Deborah shared, and I'm sure the enemy became more and more frustrated because the more he attacked and the more devastating the attack was, we didn't lose hope. We didn't stop. We didn't cancel. We didn't call it off. Nothing. We went forward. Oh, my God. Such a wonderful testimony to that one statement, actually, that Elder Deborah just shared. And so we have to understand that there's two people, two types of situations that the enemy is going to attack. And that's us personally and then us corporately. But when he does personal and corporate, you know he's scared. He's running scared, and we're doing what God needs for us to do. So I do thank you, Apostle. I thank you all that participated and made it a wow. But we will prepare for November's experience. And don't wait to the meeting. If you have insights or revelation to share, just, you know, drop it to the apostle so that as preparation is being made for that gathering, it will include those things that Holy Spirit wants to bring together from and through all of us. So next week, not this week, next week is the strategy meeting. But you don't have to wait till next week. Okay? So sometimes once you've experienced something, you have some thoughts about that kind of gathering. So if you have those thoughts, then please communicate them to the apostle. Amen. All right, then. Enjoy it. You know, overseer enjoyed the snow on Monday. A lot. Okay.
So. Amen.
All right. Have a good one.
Be blessed.
Same you.
You as well. Okay.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.